welcome the director, Christy Garland. With your film. Do you want to get your team on stage?
I'd love to start. I mean, there's a lot of people who made this film possible. But the first person I'd like to introduce is the most brave and wonderful Walla Hinch.
Wallace coming up with Ikram. Yes, of course, you go in the middle, where you always are. This is Ikram Zubeidi. Ikram works at the Palestinian Center for Peace and Democracy, but she started working on this film with me from the very beginning. And she is the one who has been doing all the translating and all the organizing and all the begging and pleading with everybody through 6 years to capture this story. So I owe a great debt to her for helping us with that. And now I'd like to bring up the incredible team that made this possible. Producer Anna Kunka, who was also involved with the project from the very beginning. Matt Code, producer from Canada. Justine Pimlott, and folks from the NFB. Michael Oglin, the editor, wonderful editor, who put up with a lot. Anders, the colorist. Maria Christensen, producer from Final Cut. Sina, executive producer. And everybody else, just come up. Who else have I forgotten? Okay, we'll move down. Have I forgotten anyone? Sina? Here she comes. Okay, good. I think we've got everybody. I'm going to give that back.
Great. Thank you all very much for being here. Thanks for this film. I'm sure you all have a lot of questions, but I would go first, if it's okay with you. And I know this is your fourth long documentary, and you traveled a lot around the world with your last films. And why was it now the West Bank? Why was it this area, and how came up this idea of a film about Walla?
I was actually staying in Denmark, and I was editing a film that I did called The Bastard Sings the Sweetest Song. And I met a Danish woman named Andrea Hasselager, who she's a video game designer, and she travels to conflict regions and developing areas to teach young women technology and how to design their own video games. And so I thought it might be interesting to go with her, shoot her workshops, give her the footage so she could raise money for her workshop, and see if I could find a film. And I had never been to the West Bank, ever. So I went there for about 3 weeks and shot a lot of footage of young women, you know, completing their exercises and staring at computer screens, and it was quite boring footage. I think it worked well to raise money for her, but it wasn't that. And I couldn't really find anybody who really seemed like a good character until the final week we were in Balata camp, and that was the last place. And about 3 days before I left, I saw Walla and just was immediately fascinated with her. She was making jokes, she was sort of filling up, you know, she was definitely taking up her space in the room, and she just seemed like a very strong character, and she was laughing a lot, and I was very curious about what she was hoping for in life. And so I approached her. And at first she said, no, I don't want you coming anywhere near me with that camera, which I completely respect. And she also thought that maybe the only reason I was interested in her was because her mother, Latifa, was recently released from prison. And I promised her that I actually wanted to follow her around and find out what her life was all about. Of course, that involves Latifa and her family and everything else, but that's sort of where we started. And they welcomed me into their home, and I began shooting it. That was in 2012.
So you used footage from the time when her mother was released and some footage from the time before when the interview, I think, from Wala, when she was young, when her mother was in prison. Where did this come from, the footage?
Just an kind of amazing coincidence that they happened to do an interview with Wala the day her mother was released. And then also there had been this show, a journalist named Manal Saif, who's based in Ramallah, I think, who had shot a program called Mother's Day in Balada Camp. It's speaking to the, which one?
Working at the Palestinian National TV.
Okay, Palestinian National Television. So she did this program and just happened to have interviewed Wala when she was 13. So we were able to see what it was like for Wala to live without her mother while her mother was in prison.
So I would love to ask Wala, what was it what made your mind that it's fine to be filmed over a couple of years? Why Christy?
بالبداية كانت الكاميرا مزعجة جدا وكان مزعجني الأمر كتير وبعدين إنه 6 سنين أنا وكريستي منصور مع بعض أقلمت بالموضوع جدا ومزبوط هي اخترقت خصوصياتي ومشاكل بالبيت بس إنه كتير أنا كنت مبسوطة معها وتقبلتها جدا يعني كانت كأنها الكاميرا صاحبتي.
At the beginning it was difficult to accept the camera fooling me in my house. It tried to cross my privacy. It was annoying, but after more than 6 years, I think the camera become just like a friend for me, and I accept both, camera and Christy. And I was happy because I start understand why she keep follow me and shooting me.
So if there are questions in the audience. We have a microphone, so please just raise your hands and someone will come to you. Maybe one last question from my side. I'm really interested in how did you manage to shoot all these scenes at the PNA?
First of all, it helped that Ikram helped us get access. And it's the first time, actually, a camera has ever been permitted inside the Palestinian security forces or the police academy, the training in Jericho, where it was. So they were very, very supportive in letting us shoot there. I mean, I think the other thing is we did have official permission from Ramallah and we'd gone through that. But when I actually arrived with Wala the first day, nobody there really knew what I was doing there. But they were just very welcoming and let me shoot from the very, very early moments. So from that point on, I had carte blanche while I was there. There was nobody saying I couldn't. I mean, there was a few people that, of course, we had to be sensitive and be respect that it was a very strange thing to have a camera there. And you can imagine, Wala, the first day of school or the first time you are training in an army and you've got this annoying Canadian woman limping after you with a camera everywhere. I mean, she was so brave and generous to allow me to do that. But then, while I was there, it was very, very easy, actually. I mean, it was not that easy in the 50-degree heat. It was quite hot. But in terms of how cooperative everybody was and supportive everybody was, it was quite easy.
So, is here a question? Ich glaube, ganz links. Ich glaube, das Mikro ist nicht an. Können wir da noch mal mehr?
Okay, now. First of all, I wanted to thank Wala for letting us all into her life and being such an authentic woman. And I was wondering if you're still working for the police and how your family's doing and what your mother's thinking about you working for the police.
اولا بعدني انا بشتغل بالاجهزه الامنيه وامي كثير هي اللي شجعتني وفخوره جدا اني انا بنتها كجهاز بنت جهاز امني وشغلي يعني كثير بالاجهزه الامنيه انا دخلته عشان اخدم الشعب الفلسطيني وخاصه بالاجهزه الامنيه.
I'm still working at the PSF. I'm a police woman and my mother always supportive and she feel proud because I'm working as a servant for the Palestinian people as I learned and she feel proud, so proud.
Gibt es noch, ist der front row.
Hi, first of all, thank you for this movie and this great opportunity. And I was wondering, is your brother, like if I may ask, is your brother still in prison and has there been any improvements of whether he's coming out at some point or, yeah.
محمد أخوي بعده بالداخل السجن الإسرائيلي وأنا كأني كنت معتقلة لدى الإسرائيل أني ما بقدرش أزوره ولا أشوفه أختي هي اللي بتزوره وبتطمني عنه. محمد أخوي بالبداية كان أصلاً شاب ما بيشتغلش بالبيت فدولة إسرائيل هي اللي لفكت له تهم مش منسوبة لإله مع أنه تهم كلها باطلة بس حالياً هو بالسجن الإسرائيلي وتم محاكمته مدة سنتين.
My brother Muhammad is still in the jail. The judge accused him and punished him. He will stay for 2 years at the prison. Believe or not, for no reason. All the things that they accuse that he did, he's not. And because I'm an ex-prisoner, it's forbidden for me to visit him. So the only one who can my sister, and she sent messages from me to him, and Muhammad do the same. That's it.
Anyone else in the audience?
Hi, I have two questions. The first one is, how long was the time you were at the police school? How long was it, the time?
The training?
Yes.
بالأجهزة الأمنية 3 شهور قعدت أثناء التدريب.
Okay. 3 months. I get the trained for 3 months.
There was a point where you wanted to go home, and what makes you to change your mind? Was it just the talk with the colonel, or what it was, or why did you stay?
بالبداية أنا لما دخلت الكلية العسكرية 45 يوم كنا في تدريب مغلق ممنوع نروح على بيوت تدريب ميداني قررت أني أغادر الكلية العسكرية بسبب الصعوبات اللي تددتها وسبب المشاكل اللي عملتها مع أصدقائي لكن بعد تجاوزت المشاكل اللي عملتها مع أصدقائي وإحنا حالياً أصلاً صرنا أصدقاء زيادة كتير ومنتطمن على بعض ومنحكي مسجات مع بعض ومترابطين مع بعض ومنداوم مع بعض معظم الصبايا.
At the beginning of the training I should stay for 45 days. It's a closed training. I can't go back home and I can't contact my family members. Why she said that she want to go home? She said that she fight with her colleagues at the dorm, at the field. It was difficult. It was difficult for me. And to be honest, I caused a lot of problem. I was a troublemaker, but now they are my sisters. They are my colleague, and I keep in touch with them. We work together, and we are good friends.
There is another question in the first row.
What about Israeli authorities? Because I think you had to enter the Palestinian territories by Israel or by Jordan, or which way did you go? What about border control, and did they search you? Did they give you support or try to hinder you?
I never had any hindrance. I always entered through Tel Aviv. But I never talked about the fact that I was shooting a film in the West Bank. I just came and went, and I wasn't asked, and I wasn't hindered. The first camera I brought was a little bit bigger, and the package was a bit bigger, and I threw a lot of different frame rates together for this film because I shot it over such a long time. The camera package got smaller, and then because I knew I was doing this sort of longitudinal study, I left a lot of the stuff there while I wasn't there. And I shot roughly once a year from 2012 until just a few weeks ago in January. I finished the final shoot. Except for in 2015 when she was at the camp, I shot there four times, or at the Palestinian Security Forces. But no, I never had any kind of resistance or any problems at all going through Tel Aviv.
Maybe one more question for the producers in the dream. What was it that made you sure this is a great project? Have you met Walla at the beginning, or was it just maybe footage you saw and you said, that's a woman, that's a story, that's a great film?
Well, I worked with Christy a little bit before, so I know the way that she works with people and telling their stories. And when she told me about Walla, I was very, very curious about this young, strong woman. And then I was lucky enough to go down there and meet her and her family. And from then on, I was totally in love with this project.
Do you guys want to talk as well? For me, it was all Christy, who I'd worked with on a previous film. And I think she makes incredibly special documentaries that get inside characters in a way that narrative films tend to, in a way that I don't always see in documentaries. And that really drew me to the project, and I wanted to keep working with her.
Thank you. From the National Film Board of Canada, and I echo what Matt said, I was interested to work with Christy. I'd seen her body of work and was very impressed with it. And then Anna and Christy shared the project with me. And, well, what can I say? When I saw the footage and came to know more about Walla, it was a yes. Her story speaks to the teenagers in us, and there's so many universal aspects, but obviously very different in terms of the stakes. But it's a very impressive, beautiful project.
Actually, the time that Anne was visiting, she came down with me once. It was during the Arab Idol scene, and she's actually just sitting in the other room. A couple times in the footage, you see this Scandinavian, blonde, blue-eyed blonde person sitting in the next room. It didn't really make sense, so we had to leave her on the cutting room floor, unfortunately.
We had a question up there.
Yeah. There's another in the last row.
This is a question for Walla. I want to ask you how this movie changed your life. Does this movie represent the life of a young woman under the Israeli occupation?
الفيلم في عمل لي كأني المسؤولة عمل خلاني كبنت جهاز مسؤولة وبحكي باسم فلسطين. أي أنا ما بمثل ولا بمثل باسم فلسطين كاملة، بمثل اسم الجهاز الأمني. هذا هو اللي غير لي حياتي، إنه جيت على برلين وحكيت باسم فلسطين وعرضت اسم فلسطين وعرضت الأجهزة الأمنية، وأنا فخورة جدا في هذا الإشي.
The film changed my life because I found that I will represent Palestine. I am the voice of many Palestinian teenagers, and it's my responsibility to come here to talk about Palestine and the Palestinian situation. And I'm so proud because I represent Palestine and especially the Palestinian Security Forces too.
Was there a second part in the question we missed, or was it fine? Okay. In the second row.
In the movie, it says that you were living in a refugee camp. So I was wondering, how come you live in a refugee camp, and if you were living there for all your life, or when you got there?
إن ولدت بمخيم بلاطة. مخيم بلاطة نفس سجن إسرائيل. ولكن انه مفتوح حريه سجن يعني المفروض ان نحكي له سجن بلاطه مش مخيم بلاطه ظروف كثير صعبه بمخيم بلاطه بس بدنا نتاقلم بسبب الحصار الاسرائيلي فاحنا كثير بنعاني من الاسرائيليين ممنوع نطلع ممنوع ننزل كل يوم طاخ قصف اعتقال يعني بلحظه يمكن انا وانا مروحه افوت مخيم بلاطه يتم اعتقالي ما بعرف يمكن يجيني تلفون يتم اعتقال امي او اختي او انه اي حد من افراد عائلتي الحصار الاسرائيلي كثير يعني مضايق المخيمات يعني مش مخيم بلاطه بس احنا كفلسطين كامله الاسرائيلي كثير محاصرنا ممنوع نطلع ممنوع ننزل ممنوع نيجي يعني الاسرائيليين كيف بدي احكي معتقل باي وقت كان مراه كان طفل اطفال كثير تعرض للاعتقال من ضمنهم اخوي محمد وانا اعتقل محمد كان عمره 11 سنه اعتقل مره قعد تقريبا 5 ايام بالسجن يعني احنا باي وقت كان انا كان اكرام يتم اعتقالنا
ان شاء الله نو ان شاء الله نو اوكي شي سيد ليف اندر اوكيبيشن اي ثينك اتس نوت بلاطه ريفيوجي كامب اي كان كول ات Balata prison, because it's a small area, crowded, full of people, and because of the occupation, suddenly, in the morning, in the evening, anytime, they attack the camp, they put anyone they want at the jail. Muhammad, my brother, when he was 11 years old, they put him in the prison, they put him in the jail. And even Ikram, maybe anytime, they will put her in the jail. So it's difficult to live under occupation. They attack the camp. They shoot the people. They put them in the prison. There is checkpoints. There is the wall. Everything in Palestine is difficult, but it's our life. I born there, and I have to accept that I born in a refugee camp. So it's my life.
I have one more question. I think after so many years, you had a lot of film, like a lot of stuff you could put into hours and days. And how did you process by editing the film? Maybe this is also for the editors in the team and for Christy.
Sure. It was a lot of footage. We started in Canada with Graham Ring as a picture editor I work with there, and he handled all the translations, which was quite a bit. I don't know if it's between 200, around 250 hours, I think. So all the translations, and then he did an assembly, actually. And then we came to Denmark and worked with Michael Oaklund, a wonderful editor who helped us focus the story. And there were all kinds of questions in terms of, I mean, you have this, it's a distinct story because when Walla goes to the PSF, it sort of represents any young person's life who's training for the army or going to university or anything. There's a an atmosphere there of discipline and structure and lessons and a routine. But then the first and the third acts outside of it are very different. And so in terms of how much time to spend at Walla and her backstory and also how to handle the question of her mother Latifa and what brought her mother Latifa to prison, all of those things were conversations that we had right up until the very end. So if that kind of helps. Michael, can I give the... Do you want to say anything?
No, just chiming in with the same thing. Each part had different challenges, like the backstory in the first half. The PSF could be a long, rocky montage. So it's ironing out the character in those parts. Hey? But and Graham did a really good job at sort of presenting something that was easy to shape, in a sense. Hey? And I think it is balancing the world versus just a character story, but when you see someone practicing at the PSF and then spitting after the officer, you sort of, you know you're on a winner. No, like, she's gonna be good.
We have time for two more questions. Are there any more questions? I see here the two, three. Maybe if you're fast.
Thank you, Shukran. Will there be a continuation? So we are curious how your life will go on, and the situation is still unsettled. So, and there's a question of you said it in the first part. I don't want to have a husband commanding me around. So this is my choice. So do you have to choose, or maybe?
Well, that's a good question. No, there won't be a sequel. But the other question was, when Wallace says, I don't want to get married, I don't want to have kids, I want to be a cop 24 hours a day. Is that still the same situation?
لا طبعا راح اتجوز اجيب اولاد عشان برضه خليهم يعتقلوا واخليهم يفوتوا الاجهزه الامنيه.
No, I changed my mind. I will get married and I want to have babies, because they have to fight the occupation and they have to enter the PSF. They have to continue my work, my mission.
Hinter dir.
Okay, I have a question to Wala. What do you think should be the difference between a member of the police unit which is oppressed people, and what should be so different to the oppressor's servant, you know? Because police is always an instrument of repressed people, and so I saw also the way how they get taught is similar to everywhere. But I think there's a big difference if you are the oppressed people or if you are a servant by the oppressor's side. So for me, it's so interesting the question, the education to be a servant of oppressed people. What is different to the side of the oppressor police units? How? What is your idea about that? And what? Yeah, I think it's a big difference to be a servant of oppressed people and to be a part of a police unit which is part of oppression.
I think I understand the question, and it's a complicated one. And I know you're actually asking Wala, but just to parse it out, I think the Palestinian Security Forces was something that resulted from the Oslo Accords, the Palestinian Authority. It is the Palestinians' security apparatus. It involves the local police force, same as it would be in any other country. That is something that is, you know, something that Wall is very proud to be involved in. And so I mean, yes, when the IDF comes into Tulkarm, when we were in shooting the final scenes, when she was doing her job in Tulkarm, the Palestinian police officers would have to get off the street and go into the precinct, because they weren't allowed to be on the street when the IDF was roaming around. So that kind of answers your question in a way. But they do have a relationship with their own people that is also complicated, but it's a start in terms of it's an important, obviously, to have a police force, as you need in every country. Does she understand the question? Like, what's it like to be a member of a police force of an oppressed people that's got another military police force? Have I got that right?
في اختلاف بين الإسرائيل وبين الأجهزة الأمنية الفلسطينية. الأجهزة الأمنية الفلسطينية بتعمل تنظيم دولة فلسطين لتعطي الأمان للشعب وتنظمهم. أما إسرائيل بتعتقل، تهدم بيوت، بتطخ الشعب الفلسطيني، بتقتل طفل، بتحرق طفل. حرقوا عنا طفل بيبي مع أمه وأخته، عيلته كاملة حرقوها، بس واحد اللي شوهوه. أما إحنا في الأجهزة الأمنية ما بنحرق، ما بنطخ، ما بنعتقل، إحنا بس للأمان عشان ننظم الشعب الفلسطيني ونعمل طموحاته ونحقق لهم أمنية. شو بتمنوا؟
Okay. The security forces, the Palestinian security forces, we need these forces as a Palestinian because we need someone to organize our life. And we want someone to protect the people. And we try to do this. We try to use the peaceful way to organize or to start building our state that we dreamed of. This is the mission of the security forces. And you can't compare it with the occupation, because occupation killed, destroyed houses, burned families, babies, put anyone in the jail. There is no comparing between both of them.
I know we could go on like this for hours and hours, but we don't have any time left. I'm really sorry. Yes.
Of course. Actually, just back to the editing question with Mikael. We also had two wonderful story consultants, extremely accomplished filmmakers in Denmark, Anna Billeskov Jensen, and Molly Stensgaard, who's in the audience here. I just wanted to thank you, Molly. She was a story consultant and came in and had a look at our rough cuts and gave us advice about where to take the story and how to clarify it. And so very grateful for her work as well. Yeah.
And we have, and as you can see, we have a long list of people who helped finance this film. I'm just going to mention the three that are here today. The Doha Film Institute, the Danish Film Institute, and Danish Broadcasting Corporation. And then, of course, NFP, but you're here on stage with us. So thank you to all the financiers who made it possible.